Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We magnify your name. We lift you up, oh God. Praise God. What a privilege to stand in the house of the Lord and to handle the things of God. I look at a service like we had here on Tuesday, and you have that scattering of apostolics all through that service. You have people that have known the Holy Ghost and are backslidden. You have people that have come to the edge of it but never entered in. You have folks that are living for God with all their heart. Quite a diversity in that crowd, and generations represented there. And such is the kingdom of God. It makes itself manifest in a locale, in a family, in a city, and whosoever will can come in and drink of the waters. I'm amazed at how merciful God is to us. I want to make sure that in the end, and when the dust settles, that I'm still standing and that I'm still living for God. It's a terrible presumption to just think it happens automatically. But I've made it up in my mind that I'm going to be assertive spiritually. That I won't just drift, but that in the face of a brand new year, I'm going to assert myself in prayer and in the Word of God and in a witness and in faith. I want to have a greater experience in God this year than I've ever had before. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to read a text in James chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to do a study of the 44th Psalm. We're going to continue our study through the Old Testament. We are in the Psalms right now, and this is a psalm that is for the sons of Korah. This is not a psalm of David, but this is a psalm for the sons of Korah. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then down in verse 12, everyone say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks and praise for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you for your word. We lift you up in this house. What a privilege to stand in your presence and to enter into your holy place tonight and praise you. We give you all the thanks and all the praise. And everyone say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Psalms 44. The sons of Korah, this is a song for them. And they are the temple singers and temple musicians. And they conduct the praise in the house of the Lord. And this is quite a song for this particular group of people, given their history. As we make our way through this psalm tonight, the first 8 verses are comments of confidence and understanding and praise. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days, in the times of old. How you did drive out the heathen with your hand and you planted them. How you did afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you have a favor unto them. And so these sons of Korah are singing. Our confidence is in God. It's not in our own strength. And we've heard it from old, how God gave the promised land to our fathers. Verse 4, they break forth in praise. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put them in or to shame that hated us. Everyone say, in God we boast all the day long. And praise thy name forever. Praise God. Our boast is in God. Our praise is in God. You may have a little strength, but the writer and the singer here, they know that your strength won't really matter in the day of battle. That what really matters is that God is on your side. And your confidence in God is the strongest asset that you have in your experience. And so this psalm erupts in confidence and in praise. And these men, as they're standing in that temple place and they're singing, they're singing an anthem to the faithfulness of God and the history of God's people that is representative of the fact that God never fails and God always provides. But now it shifts in verse 9, and they begin to open their heart. Now this is a prescribed song. This is a song that they're singing, and they've memorized the words to it. And after confidence and after praise, then they begin to open up their mouth and tell you about their circumstantial reality. They begin to tell you about what they just told you what their God was like and what their history was like, but now they're about to tell you what's happening in their life right now. And it sounds like a dirge or a song of negativism, but it is a song of simply reality. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put them to shame that hated us. We boast in you all day long. Verse 9, but you, God, have cast off and put us to shame and go not forth with our armies. You make us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. You have given us like sheep appointed for meat and have scattered us among the heathen. You sell your people for nothing, and you don't even increase of thy wealth by their price. You make us a reproach to our neighbors and a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. You make us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me. You can understand that. You have confidence in God. You have faith in God. You know the word of God. You know the history of what he's done. But now you see your enemies overwhelming you. You are overcome. You are overwhelmed. And you're almost about to lose everything that you have to the enemies around you. When you know there's a God in the heaven that could solve the problem with a snap of his fingers. And the writer says, my confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me, for the voice of him that reproaches and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. They've given you their testimony. They believe in God. They've given you their testimony. They're standing in the temple singing. We believe God. We're confident in God. Look at our history. God never fails. We boast in God all day long. But now let me tell you what's happening in my life. We've got folks down at the hospital. We just took somebody to the graveyard. Somebody just lost their job. Somebody, every mechanical, electrical, technical thing in their life has just broken down. Somebody just got demoted. Somebody's having trouble with their kids. Somebody's having a problem in their family. Somebody's husband just lost his mind, or wife just lost her mind. That's the reality that these gentlemen are singing about. I mean, they're standing in the temple and they're singing, we have confidence in God. All day long we boast in God. But let me give you the reality of my situation. I'm not singing this song simply because everything in my life is always okay. I'm not just singing this song because I only know one side of God. That's the side where the sun's always shining and everything's always sweet. And there's never a bump in the road. And all things are easy for me. That's not why they're singing that. They said, let me tell you, we live in the real world. And we're having real problems. And our enemies are right there at the wall. And we are struggling every day with these enemies. Well, praise God. That's the song of the sons of Korah. And they're going to qualify. They're going to qualify their situation before they get out of the song. In the latter verses, they're going to tell you, and it's not because of personal failure or because of personal sin or backsliding that I'm having these problems. It is a given that if you backslide, you'll embrace what hell has to offer you. That if you leave the principles of God and fall into sin, there's a reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you step outside the law of God and you wander off into sin, there'll always be reaping. Maybe a little reaping, maybe a lot of reaping, but there's always a reaping to be done. But these sons of Korah are about to sing to you, and they anticipate your question like, well, what you been doing? But their response is, we're not backslidden, and we haven't forgotten God, and we haven't fallen into sin. Matter of fact, we're living for God just right, and everything's falling apart. Look at what they say. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. God, we're in the middle of all this, but we're not forgetting you. They are again lifting up the refrain of confidence in God. Neither have we dealt falsely in your covenant. We've walked it according to the word of God. Our heart is not turned back. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God, you know that we're faithful. They're singing this before God. We've got confidence in God. But brother, we've got trouble on every side. But God knows it's not because we walked off into a swamp of sin. We've been faithful to God. And I want God to hear this. I'm faithful to you. I know you're testing me. I know you're trying me. I know the pressure of circumstance is trying to wring my victory out, but I want to shout it out here in the temple. I want to sing it out to everybody that can hear it. I'm going to live, die, sink, swim, faithful to God. Won't forget his name. Won't desert his word. That's the song that they're singing. Yea, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. God, you're killing us down here. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Wake up. Why are you sleeping, Lord? Arise and cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaves to the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Praise God. This is not a psalm of hyperbolized victory. This is a song of right down where you live in reality. It is a song of confidence in God, a sure reckoning of the reality around that human that's living down here on ground zero on this earth. And they want to tell you, in the midst of it all, you can live for God by his covenant. You don't have to live in incessant blessing to live for God. The sons of Korah are telling you, you can live for God in a hard time. You can sing this song in a difficult circumstance. If you make up your mind and you've got a heart to do it, the sons of Korah have made a song out of it. Life is hard right now, but bless God, I'm going to live for him. Life is full of trouble right now. You got to get a hold of this. You need to get a hold of this. Somebody might have told you. I know they teach this out in the world. I know everything's success out in the world and happiness out in the world and three or four easy steps to have everything you want. But you know in your heart of hearts, life is really not like that. You know in the biblical account, life is really not like that. But this word of God offers you something that'll keep you in the midst of the storm, that'll keep you in the midst of your trouble. And your circumstances don't have the power to overwhelm the victory of God in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, has anybody in this house ever been through a storm and you found him to be faithful? Has anybody in this place in the middle of trouble ever heard the devil saying, well, you ought to turn back now because God's not with you. You ought to turn back now because you're lonely. You ought to turn back now because you're hurting. You ought to turn back now because you don't have what the word promised. You ought to turn back now because God hadn't delivered you yet. You ought to turn back now because God hadn't answered the prayer that you prayed years ago. I want to stand with the sons of Korah tonight, and I want to say my confidence is in him and my trust is in him, and I'm gonna walk with him. I've already made up my mind. Though it be on a mountain, though it be in a valley low, I'm gonna walk with him. Shove your neighbor a little bit and say, I'm gonna walk with him in the good times and in the bad times. Brother Butch, Sister Cynthia, stand up. Who married you? Brother Dowdy. And did he do the traditional vows? And did you repeat after him, I, Butch, or Noel, take thee, Cynthia, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forth, for richer, for poorer. This is a wonderful opportunity for you here. Don't squander it. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health. Now, generally when people are married, they're young, full of dreams, full of health, full of strength. And they don't really think about the poorer, the worse, and the sickness. They think about the richer, the better, and the health. Because that's all they've known, and it seems an easy thing. But just tell me, have there been some days when it wasn't richer, and it wasn't health, and it wasn't better? It was worse. Sure, because that's life. That's the stuff of life. That's the substance of life. It's just how it is. And anything else is a fairy tale. And our covenant with God, you as you stand there tonight, you are a living parable. You are an allegory. You are Christ and his church. And when we make a vow with God, when you come down to this altar, it is inherent in the covenant that it will be for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, and in health. And God says, I do. And we say, I do. And we go on about our way. But in the middle of all that, have you ever slammed the door and said, I'm getting a lawyer? I got to be careful about this because I'm asking questions I don't already know the answer to. I think I do. Only twice we've done that. No, because you took a vow, and because you knew, because you were mature, you knew there would be downswings in life and circumstances that come against you and trouble knocking on your door. And you know hell hates your marriage and hates your home and wants to wreck you and doesn't love it that you're living for God. And so you're going to have an opposition, and that's just living for God 101. But you took a vow to one another, and you've taken a vow to God. And everybody in this house, you can be seated. I appreciate you letting me use you like that. But everybody in this house is living for God. We took a vow when we married God. We are the bride of Christ. And when we lie up, we said for better or for worse. I love it when it's better, but I'm gonna walk with him when it's worse. For richer or poorer, we love it when it's richer. But praise God, somebody's gotta have an attitude. I can walk with God if I'm as poor as Job's turkey. In sickness and in health, we love to be strong and healthy. But there are days, there are times when sickness is gonna touch us. That's just life. In this planet, and the sons of Korah have a song. We have confidence in God, and in God we make our boast all the day long. Now, just in case you were thinking, we were born into a house of plenty, and all we've known is luxury, and all we've ever known is the good times. I'm going to tell you, we have trouble all around us. These sons of Korah are singing, but they, in the end of the song, they say, we're not going to be moved. I want you to know, we haven't forgotten his name, and we haven't backslidden, and we haven't forgotten his word, and we're not suffering these things because of sin. We're suffering these things because that's the stuff of life. And it may even be that God sends something every now and then, but we've already made up our mind. We've got our eye on the North Star in the Spirit, and we've already determined our course. We're going to live for God all the way through. Go ahead and clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. I want somebody that's got trouble right now to shout a little bit. I still got God. I've still got God. Somebody that's got pressure, shout a little bit. I still got victory. I've still got victory. Somebody that's broke right now, go ahead and shout a little bit and say, I got something more important than money, honey. Go ahead, look your problem in the eye and shout a little bit. Go ahead and look your circumstance in the face and shout a little bit about it. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, in God I boast all the day long. Praise God. Now listen, if you backslidden and you got all kind of trouble in your life, you're reaping. You say, how long will this last? Nobody knows. Maybe until we get on the other side. If you've walked off into sin, you may be reaping right now. But in the middle of this, if you, like Korah's sons, can say, I haven't sinned, I haven't backslidden, I'm faithful to God. Oh, let me tell you something. What an excellent forum for you to glorify God. It is worthy of a song sung in the temple of the living God. For the righteous to walk through the fire and sing all the way through. For the good, and I'm not talking about perfect, I'm just saying those that have it under the blood, and even though you get knocked down, you get back up, and you're doing your best to live for God. What an awesome thing to walk through a valley, and with all of the devils of hell leering at you and waiting for you to fall, you say, I make my boast in him all the day long. My confidence is in him, and I believe God is still God, regardless of what is happening in my life. Oh, clap your hands unto him. What a good God. Could we just praise him a little bit more? Some high praise. I want 2006 to be the most explosive year that we've ever had in this house. We want to stretch the envelope a little bit. Praise God. This song is a demonstrated tenacity of faith. This song is a demonstration of understanding that there is a sovereign God and that life is a trial and a test. And the Word of God never promised that you would walk without trouble. This is a song of understanding. And this is a song from the voice of men who are humbled, because your ego will always resist this message. Because you don't want it. Your flesh will always resist this message because it wants to be delivered and it wants to be healthy. And it's mad at God for not delivering it. But this is a song of men who are humbled and relaxed in the hand of God, willing to acquiesce to the will of God when overwhelmed and overrun and you know that God could deliver you, but he doesn't. And you know that God could heal you, but he doesn't. And you know that God could provide the answer, but he doesn't. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown. Praise God. This is the fruit of a Gethsemane experience. This is when you take that flesh down to a place and you look at the impending trouble and you say, nevertheless, not my will. It's okay to tell God what you want. It's okay to say, God, I need you to heal me. I need you to pay these bills. I need you to shut the mouth of this devil. I need you to deliver me. It's okay to do that, but at the end, it needs to be punctuated by, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It is a song of complete acceptance of authority. Complete acceptance of God's authority in your life. Praise God. Why do people backslide? Why do people leave the house of God? Because they want something other than what God is offering. A different situation, a different description, a different message, a different lifestyle. They don't want to embrace his authority in their life. It is no more complex than that. Now, we could talk about all the specific reasons, but they all funnel down to one point. Are you in agreement with the authority of God? We learn in a lot of different venues. We learn by positive example. In the Word of God, there is a group of people called the Rechabites. And for centuries, their people never lived in a house made of static material, but always lived in tents. And they never drank of wine. And it was a commandment given to them by an elder centuries before, but they kept it in their family culture. And they kept it in their family tradition. And God brought them to the forefront one day and had the prophet bring them into the house of God and offer them wine and command them to drink it. But they stood their ground, and even for the prophet, they wouldn't transgress what their elders had delivered to them. And God said, oh, would to God that my people were as strong in their faith to their God as the Rechabites are to their father. And they learned that by example. This is how we live, children. This is what we live in. And this is the way that we conduct our lives. And the Rechabites learned a powerful lesson by example. We learn by experience. Abraham didn't always serve God with a full heart. When Abraham was called out of Ur, God said, leave your family. But he brought Terah and Lot with him. When God brought him down to Canaan land, he overshot the runway and he went into Egypt. And in Egypt, he picked up Hagar. And Hagar would later be the mother of Ishmael and the beginning of all the Arab nations and trouble for everybody from Abraham on down. And it was in Egypt that Lot looked at the landscape and fell in love or began to have impressed on his mind what good land looked like. And when Abraham and Lot split ways, Lot looked on the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and said, that looks like Egypt. And he went down there to live. And all kinds of terrible things happened because he moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. When it was time for Isaac to be born and the promise was coming from the mouth of God, Abram said, oh God, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael, Abram never did in those early stanzas obey God completely. But after Sarah was regenerated And after a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman had a little baby that was a promised child, and Abraham knew it was a miracle of God, something changed in that man. Something happened to him. He learned by experience with God. Because there was going to come a morning, recorded in the 22nd of Genesis, that God did test Abraham. And he said, I want you to take your son, Isaac, your only son that you love, to the top of a mountain that I will show you, and offer him there as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering unto me. The Bible said Abraham got up early in the morning. He didn't dawdle. He loaded up the equipment and Isaac and the servants, and he took off and didn't know where he was going. And on the third day, God showed him and he saw the place afar off. And he told the servants, guys, you wait right here. I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. We're not going to go yonder and cry. We're not going to go yonder and have a fit. In this instance, I'm not going to fall short of the commandment of God. But in this, the greatest test of my life, I'm going to walk uprightly before God. And he makes his way to the mountaintop with Isaac. And Isaac is troubled because he sees the fire and the knife and the wood. And he knows about sacrifices. And he knows something living has to be sacrificed. And he's the only other living thing on the top of the mountain. And he says, where's the sacrifice? And Abram says, son, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews reveals the thinking of Abram to us. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Bible says Abraham was going to obey God even though God had given him contradictory information. Isaac will be the promised child, but Isaac will be a sacrifice, a burnt offering to God. Those are contradictory mandates from God. But you know what he decided? He said, I'm going to do the what, and I'm going to let God take care of the how. I'm going to do what God's told me, and I'm not going to try to figure out all the ins and outs or how it's going to happen or why it can't happen. It's not my job to analyze God's mandate. It's my job to obey God's mandate. And so he makes his way to the mountain, and he really is going to do the deed. He lifts the knife, but the angel stays his hand and says, now I know. Now I know that you love me. Now, Abraham, I know. Because God only knows your devotion by what you do. He doesn't know it by what you say or by what you feel or by what you think. God only knows your devotion by what you do. And your devotion is only going to be demonstrated by what you do when the pressure's on. Anybody can live for God in an easy day when everything is going well. But God only knows your level of devotion when there is a level of pressure coming against you that requires you to demonstrate your faith. Praise God. Will God test you? That scripture opens, and God did test Abraham. Praise God. Coming up the mountain on the other side of the test ground was a ram. They didn't see him going up. Let me tell you, if you're in a hard place right now and you've been walking for God and you've got the commandment of God in your pocket and you look at it every day and you're struggling to obey God, but you've got it made up in your mind you're going to, let me tell you something. As you make your way up the face of the hard, scrabbled face of the mountain of God, you rest assured there's a promise coming up the other side of that mountain. There is an answer coming up the other side of the mountain. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. God never does put you out in a test zone without an answer there for you. God won't ever leave you all by yourself there. But Abraham's a different man, and he learns from experience. But we also learn from the failures of others. And these are the sons of Korah. And we find their ancestor in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. And Korah is one of the princes of Israel. And he's one of the Levites. And he's in charge. And they've just come from Sinai. And now they've got this anointing on them. And there's this sequence. And all along the sequence, there's a place to get filtered out of your experience in God. They have to come out of Egypt. And so do we. Some don't come out. And after you come out of Egypt, you got to visit Sinai. They were there for 3 years learning how to live for God by the word of God. And some won't stand to be taught the word of God. But these did, and Korah was among them. And after they graduated from Sinai, they got out into that interim place between Sinai and Promise, and God poured out anointing upon them. God anointed the princes of Israel. There was an anointing that flowed out of Moses and covered up all of those notable men of Israel. And in that moment of anointing, there's a dangerous place for you, because some people fall apart when they're touched by the anointing of God. And that's what happened to Korah and to his friends, Dathan and Abiram. And they came to Moses and they came to Aaron and they said, "You take too much on yourself." And the only thing we can see that set them off was the 15th chapter, the latter few verses. God said, "Moses, tell them, I want you to put blue fringe around the bottom of your garments." Now, isn't that strange? What if God told us today, Brother Roman, tomorrow, all the men are going to wear some blue fringe on the bottom of their pant legs. And all the ladies are going to wear some nice blue fringe around the bottom of their... Now, Sister Riggs would do that, because she'd been walking in holiness a long time. She'd probably want chapter and verse on it, though. But it set Korah and Abiram and... Dathan off, and they came before Moses, and they rose up with those around them. And Moses had them all gather their censers together, and they all stood out before God and let the smoke of that rise up before God. And Moses said, "Listen, if I've heard from God, let something new happen here today." Because Dathan and Abiram and their friends and Korah wouldn't come out to Moses. They were obstinate against authority. They wouldn't come out. And I'll tell you, the Bible said the earth opened up and swallowed them and all that pertained to them. They took those censers, beat them into brass plates, and covered up the altar of incense so that everybody that came could see that and be reminded of the failure of those others. The 26th chapter of Numbers said, but not all of Korah's household perished. Not everybody associated with Korah's household perished. And that's why you get in the book of David, to the chief musicians, the sons of Korah. And it's interesting that you find them singing. You find them singing a song of absolute acquiescence to the authority of God. You find them singing a song that says, "It may be tough, but we agree with the authority of God. It may be that we're in a difficult circumstance, but we absolutely, let's sing it loud and sing it strong. I want everybody to hear it. I'm boasting in God. I've kept my faith. I'm not backsliding. I've kept his name. I'm not in idolatry. This is not happening to me because of sin, but I'm living for God and I'm having trouble." Well, my response is, I'm going to continue to boast and I'm going to continue to walk in my faith in God. They learned from the failure of others. Praise God. You know, I've seen a lot of people come and go in my years in the house of God. And you get to the point where you can analyze a little bit, and you can read the pulse, and you can take stock. And you can pretty much tell, is this person healthy in the kingdom? Is this guy going to live for God? Is this going to be a healthy representative of the kingdom of God? You can tell by who they hang out with, because birds of a feather flock together. And Brother Fino, I've seen them get in. Just dumb birds that didn't know a lot, just new to the kingdom, to get in with the wrong flock. And they fly off together into nonsense. I've seen them lose their worship. And loss of worship is a death knell for your experience in God. And we could create a list tonight. And that's not my purpose. But I'm telling you, you can learn from the persona of the backsliders in your life. And it breaks my heart to see people leave the kingdom of God. And it breaks my heart to see people fail the grace of God. But it is enlightening to me. And it should be a caution to all of us. I tell you what, if I saw the earth open up and swallow a fella for bucking Moses, I'd be Moses' best friend. If I saw young people follow the admonition of the pulpit and walk down an aisle and marry and their lives seem to be blessed and strengthened by God, I think that would be a caution to me that I would want to be found obedient to the word of God in the house. And if I saw the lives of people that would not tolerate the admonition of the pulpit, bless God, I want to go date. I want to go run. I want to go play ball. I want to go be involved in what the world is involved in. I want you to take a look, if you would. If you really want to be an apostolic, look around and count how many are on the other side of this pulpit that are living for God with strength right now. This is not a difficult thing to conclude. I want to be found on the right side of this pulpit. I want to be found on the right side of the admonition of the word of God. My God, when it's time for revival, I see those that are in the house and they seem to maintain their experience with God. But those that have a casual attitude, well, I can show up once a week, or I can show up every now and then. Or if it's just revival, I don't have to come on a Saturday night. But I see those stalwart soldiers of God and I begin to see a trend, strength and weakness. Longevity and backsliding. I begin to see a trend, and it's not a difficult thing, but I've got to shake myself because it's the nature of my flesh to relate to those that are backsliding. Let's stand up together. I'm not gonna go any further tonight. Simply to say, I wanna sing this song of Korah. If I have difficult circumstances in my life, I want to be found singing. Friend, don't even question me. Are you going to make it? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't even ask me, am I going to make it? Just push them a little bit and say, just know this. Go to the bank with this. I'm going to be found here, praising and magnifying God. My God, I've seen those. I could take you down through the nightmarish memories of those that started out with us and they witnessed to us and they want us to God, but they got crosswise of the pulpit, or they knew more than the preacher, or they thought, I'll just do some of it and I won't do all of it. Or they said, I'll just come a little bit, but I won't come all the way. And I've watched them through the years, and we've buried a lot of them, and we've buried a lot of their children, and I've seen their heartaches, and I've seen the disasters in their lives. And no, thank you, no. I really don't want to be involved in that kind of result in my life. I really do want to stand in the house of God and sing the song. You see, I may be singing a song. I've got trouble in my life, but I am singing it in the house of God. I may be singing a song. I've got pressure in my life, but I'm singing it in the house of God. What do people do on the outside? Let me tell you, a bartender, Brother Larry, can't help me when I've got trouble in my life. My God, there's people down at the bar room tonight singing, I've got trouble. But I'd rather be standing in the house of God singing about my trouble. There's people down at the crack house singing, I've got trouble. There's a man in the arms of another woman tonight talking about his trouble. There's a woman in the arms of another man tonight saying, I've got trouble. But I'd rather be found in the house of God singing about a God that knows me. in the midst of my trouble. Could we all come down around the altar tonight? I want us to all come and have a time of repentance. And then I want you to open up your mouth in commitment to God. Mighty God, I may have trouble, but it's for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. If you're first down here, step up on the steps. In sickness and in health, whatever comes my way,
I will pray the Lord.
No matter what tomorrow brings,
no matter what tomorrow brings,
or
what it has in store, I know that I will pray.
In the midst of the trouble, God, I'm going to be found standing in your house. Hallelujah. Come on, let's make a commitment to Him. Lift up your face, lift up your hands, lift up your voice. God, I'll be found singing that song. All, I'm going to praise Him.
I will praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord in the midst of your prayer. Lay your hand on somebody by you there.
I will praise the Lord.
Our confidence is in you, O God. In you we boast all the day long.